Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Well, I'm joined now in the studio by GAA correspondent with the Irish Examiner, John Fogarty. John, you're very welcome.
Thank you, Claire.
You're not here to talk about GAA today.
No.
It's a very different story you're here to tell because you shared a really moving piece about your daughter, Grace, this week and how being the parent of an autistic child means for you, as you put it, having to fight for everything. And we'll talk about that fight. But will you tell me about Grace, first of all?
Yeah, Grace... She went off to school this morning fine. She loves going to school. She goes over to the Red Door School over in Monkstown. Obviously, it's a large commute. It's 65 kilometres return every day. But she loves going. And the peace of mind that we get from Grace going to a school where I've been on a couple of field trips with them, and the love and affection that is shown to Grace is just gives such peace of mind, Claire. But she's a very independent woman. She's a divil, to be honest with you. If I go to the door or go to the loo, she's straight over to the fridge, freezer, as she does the same to my wife as well. She will take advantage of you. She is a very smart girl. She doesn't have a lot of words, obviously. She doesn't have sentences, apart from songs that she can sing. But she's a happy girl, which is a huge thing.
Lots of personality. How old is she?
Grace is six now. Mm-hmm. Herself and Ollie turned six there during the summer.
Yeah, so they're twins. Yeah. And as they were growing up through their babyhood and into the being toddlers, you started to notice something mightn't be right.
Yeah, we did, Claire. It was just probably around the age of two. My wife, who is a nurse, she would obviously, her radar would be a lot sharper than mine. Perhaps I was in neglect. There's no question about that. But my wife would have noticed a lot of things more than myself when I thought she was just an introvert in a way at times, that she kept her own company and did her own thing. She wanted space all the time. She did not like being cooped up or around crowds. She wasn't answering to her own name. And as much as she was walking before Ollie, crawling before Ollie, she didn't have the words. Whereas Ollie, who is a very gregarious young little fella and has a lot of words, we were comparing the two all the time, which is probably unfair to Grace, but it soon became apparent. We thought she had a hearing issue initially, but obviously it wasn't. It was, as we found out, it was autism, which my wife always suspected.
Right. And when did you get the assessment then for that? When did
you start
looking
for help? Oh, that was September 21. I remember it because I lost an uncle the week before, so that was a very close uncle. So that was a tough couple of weeks now, Claire. It was just brutal at the time. And it was tough for my wife. It was one of those infamous 90 minutes assessments. I was in the car park. Ollie was being minded. My wife Sharon was in with Grace, and she came out, and it was obvious that there was something wrong.
You both knew that something wasn't right here, but it's different when someone tells you that something isn't right, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's a different thing altogether.
It's completely. Well, we were hearing that from childminders as well, which is obviously difficult. Like, you know, my wife came home crying one day, I remember, and it was tough, Claire, because she just said she can't take Ollie. I can't take Grace's apologies anymore. She's fine with Ollie, but sure, listen, you know, we can't do that. You know, we wanted the two of them being minded, of course. So, yeah, to hear from different people, but also to hear from experts. Well, we haven't been hearing too much from experts in the last few years, to be honest with you, Claire.
Right, and that's what you're writing about. So you are told what's wrong and you're told what you need, but then do you get what you need?
No, and if anything this piece has taught me, Claire, is that there's a hell of a lot of people out there who aren't getting any sort of assistance. The amount of people who have come back to me and said they could have replaced Grace's name in that article with the name of their own child. I mentioned in the piece there was other journalists as well who have children, and it resonated with them as well. I was talking to one of them yesterday, I won't name him, but he was up with his young boy from 3 o'clock. I know that. I felt that this week. It's brutal, Claire. It's brutal for the boys and girls, because if they have a proper night's sleep, and again, I have to be very careful, like autism, you know, affects children in many different ways. It's not always, you know, sleep deprivation for them. But when they have a proper night's sleep, it does feel like they can take on the world. But when they don't, it's so cruel on them.
And Grace struggles with sleep a lot, does she?
Yeah, she does. I was in with her last night just to almost try and get a good night's sleep for today, just before speaking to yourself. And she slept until 5, which I'll take 5 any day. But it hasn't been like that. Mm-hmm. No, it hasn't.
So you got your assessment of need. What happened then?
Oh, the service statement is supposed to come a month after that, Clare, we didn't see head nor tail of that for, I think it was a year and a half now, correct me if I'm wrong. It's about that. The service statement, basically the AON, the assessment indeed, stipulated that Grace required occupational therapy, she required speech and language and psychology. We have received none of that. The service statement eventually came after a complaint, after an upheld complaint, after an appeal. It eventually came, and now this year it was supposed to be reviewed in May. We have learned now that it's going to be reviewed next month. We have been told, and I had to make my apologies to the person at the end of the line this summer when I was only ringing about Grace's sleep and the possibility of getting an ADHD assessment for her. And Claire, I just said, you know, looking forward to November, looking forward to Grace's services starting. And she said, no, John, it's not. I said, well, why am I finding out about this now? You know, why didn't you tell me about this? Why didn't you bring us in as you're supposed to bring us in? Why didn't you, why wasn't the review done when it was supposed to have been done in May this year? You know, it's just delay after delay after delay.
So none of the services you were told you needed and Grace needed, you haven't had any of them,
none
is that what you're
them.
Saying?
No, we're on waiting list privately as well, Claire, but no, we've got nothing for that. We're blessed that she's in a great school, but the school doesn't have therapeutic services. We all know the stories about that. We all know that, you know, we're fortunate that Grace is in a school, because we heard the stories in the last couple of weeks about 160 children with special needs not having school places, and my heart goes out to them.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. And I can feel it this week, and a couple of them have been in touch with me this week. Yeah, I'm not a figurehead. I'm just a father, to be honest with you. I'm a Gaelic Games correspondent, but I'm a father. I have enough energy for Grace and my family, but I don't know if I can be a figurehead for everybody. As much as, you know, a piece like this, I'm glad I wrote it, because it's brought people together. They're not alone. And Grace's story is the story of so many children out there.
You know, when you hear about that window where, you know, you have an opportunity to maybe change things for somebody in their life as they grow up, is that your fear, that you're up to nearly, is it 4 years between the assessment?
Yeah, it will be going on 4 years. It's actually this week, 3 years, but it is going on 4 years in terms of the whole process, Claire. The window is narrowing. It's narrowed. It's already gone for so many children out there. It's narrowing on Grace. Like, we're very realistic. You know, we came, like, the headline in the piece is a very, it's a very strong headline, but, you know, I would have had dreams, aspirations of, you know, walking possibly Grace up the aisle and things like that. That mightn't be possible. And that's hard to take.
Because you talk about mourning the child, you know, that you thought you had.
Yeah.
But then what you're trying to do is make a great life for the person that you do have.
Absolutely. We are realistic, Claire. We know what Grace is. We know, we are told so many times, you know, expectations isn't the way to go with autistic children, which is understandable. It took me a while to get around for that. But when you're told by the system to manage your expectations, it's so cruel. It's brutal.
Mm-hmm. You talked about making complaints and appeals and all of that. That all takes its toll. But you've been chasing the HSE. You've been campaigning with politicians as well to get some clarity, to get some answers. Can you tell us how all that has panned out?
Well, I've probably not upset them, but I remember talking to the CDMT before, and I said, I'm going to fight off my back for my child, and nothing is personal.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been CCing local TDs. I've been on to Minister Anne Rabbit's.
Just to explain to people, that's the Children's Disability Network.
Yes,
team.
I should have explained
that's,
that. Sorry.
That's who you're campaigning with.
Yes, local politicians have been advocating on Grace's behalf, and we have sometimes got something, but I have been on to Minister Anne Rabbit's department ever since I found out, more or less since I found that news during the summer, that Grace's services weren't going to start in November, and they've come back to me each time and acknowledged that Grace's needs are urgent,
mm-hmm.
but they have not got any sort of an update from the HSE.
Right. We have a statement from the Minister of State with Special Responsibilities for Disabilities, Anne Rabbitt, who acknowledges the delays in impacting access to autism services. So she says that she has engaged sincerely with the family in their question on their own child's case. This is you, John and Grace. Mm. And is aware of the challenges they're experiencing. She's keen to continue working with the HSE in order to progress improved access to services for children and young people, including those with autism. We put all of these questions to the HSE as well, and we're still awaiting a response from them. We might get one as we chat, and if we do, we will bring it to you.
Anne Rabbitt is still looking for a response from them as well, Claire.
Right. Well, that's what she says, that she is still pursuing it. People listening to you, we two autistic boys, we pay for everything privately. It's another mortgage we can't afford, and we're awake here since 3 o'clock this morning, and that's won't be news to you. Another one, this is so powerful. Could you tell me where to find John's piece in the paper? It was in the Examiner this week, and people can look for it there. You wrote in that piece, no child's life should be reduced to paperwork and pass-offs. So explain that to me. Where is that coming from?
Paperwork in a sense, Claire. And if there's any advice I can give people in my situation, in my wife Sharon's situation, is that look for paperwork. That sounds like I'm contradicting myself, but just to have that paper trail, because you will need it. Phone calls, if someone says something to you in a phone call, make sure they put it in paper. But Grace, everything that more or less comes through, Ollie had a couple of breathing difficulties when he was young, as did Grace, mind you, because they were premature, but everything that comes through the door is related to Grace. And Grace knows she knows the most important word in the dictionary in life is no herself, because she'll tell you if she doesn't like something. But she's got so many no's, and so many no's through our letterbox and emails, countless, like emails that are effectively no, Claire. You know what I mean? You know, they might be polite, and I completely acknowledge the bona fides of the Minister Anne Rabbitt, but at the same time I would question, you know, just how much authority she has, because if at this stage she can't get an answer from the HSE, who can?
Yeah, I'm reminded of the conversation Brendan O'Connor had here with Eamon Ryan at the weekend, and he made the point that I think, and I agree with him, people expect that when this happens to a family, that the state wraps its arms around you and gives you what you need. I'm sure that's what you thought was going to happen too.
I did, Claire. I thought, you know, vulnerable children and a girl, do you know, for a father, it feels even more so, you know. I thought there would be, and you know, as a colleague of mine, PJ Brown, mentioned this week, when it comes to Down syndrome children, and rightfully so, there's a plan straight away. Why isn't there for autistic children?
Mm-hmm. We have another listener who says they're still waiting for services. My son is 22 months, since my son has been 22 months old, which is when he was diagnosed. He's going to be 7 in January. It's soul destroying and heartbreaking. And we had that other listener who said they're gone down the private route and it's costing them what it would to have another mortgage. But you've looked at those options
It's Dear John letters I'm getting, you know, literally Dear John letters. Thanks.
Because they're under pressure too.
Absolutely, Claire. And just to give you an example, a colleague of mine, his son was attending speech and language therapy. He got a Dear John letter saying they're closing down yesterday. Like, that's brutal. As he said, you know, he's just asking me the question, when does it stop, John? When does it stop?
One other thing I want to say to you, Taoiseach Simon Harris, we know he's a special interest in this because he has his own experience in a different way through his family, but he has launched this autism innovation strategy, and that commits to significant change in 18 months. Now, you're smiling at me as I say that.
The proof is in the pudding, you know. This is going to be an election something for the election, in the sense that, you know, if my family are being impacted by it, if what I'm getting is a reflection of a cross-section of society, this is going to be a huge campaign issue there. And it's timely for Simon Harris. He knows it was autism that basically inspired him to do what he did for his brother. And what, As I Am are a great group, they're a great charity, and they have helped us down the line as well. But the proof will be in the pudding. I colour me impressed until I see action. And they're saying 18 months, best of luck with that. I'm not seeing it. They're coming up against a system that is faceless, a system that has become desensitised because they're saying no so many times to people. And I just wonder how you can turn that around. It's a culture at this stage, Claire, and I wish him the sincere best of luck in it, but I would question just how much authority he has in that regard.
All right. Well, John, thanks so much for coming in to talk to us, and we wish you and your family well. That's John Fogarty, who's a GAA writer in normal circumstances with the Irish Examiner. And if you want to look at John's piece, it's available there on the Examiner website.